Okay. I'm packing up, getting ready to go. Wednesday morning, the day after Caleb went into Job Corps. I had a reasonably good take on what Job Corps basically is, which is a jobs program that has turned into a place where pretty rough bunch of kids, you know, it's kind of a halfway house between kids being in jail, you know. Most of these kids are not the best. We had talked about it. Nick and I said something and said, you know, you need to know if this is really what you want to do. I think Caleb, like some of his other siblings, are looking for, I don't know if it's an easier way, but they're looking for a way that's more, it's more, that perhaps might ask less effort. And the sad part is you find out pretty quickly that there's a certain price to be paid for being managed. And it's not a pleasant price. Anybody just says, well, you know, I don't have to. Oh, that's interesting. An old truck parked right next to one of our neighbor's houses. Interesting. Maybe they've gotten a truck there. Anyway. Anyway. There's a certain trade-off to this. You know, and I'm not saying it's a good one or a bad one, but there's a trade-off, and you've got to know whether it's something you're willing to do. I tend to... somebody decided to come in here and slap down some stuff. Excellent. Maybe it was the county. Good for them. Well, so yeah, because you know, you kind of make your choices. I set up a different sort of life for myself. I'll be honest, probably, at least from my eyes, a little tenuous. But there can be a lot of freedom from it, within it. And the Job Corps
a tricky environment. Caleb isn't a particularly tricky person. He's a good guy, let me tell you. And it's going to be tricky because he's nice and kind. And these people that he's going to be living cheek by jowl with, kind of hard bit sort. And a lot of them have developed a sense of go away, pup. Go home. You know, the only way to get ahead in life is through dominance and bending people to your will. And some people say, well, that's kind of weird. You know, how come your friend has to behave a certain way, has to prove themselves, have to show that they're tough, but tough in a way that you tell them to be. And you go, yeah, he's building a gang. This is how they've learned one gains stability in an unstable world is by creating your own system. It's really quite futile. And I'm worried that Kale in this particular idiom is going to pay dearly for it. I hope not. And I pray that God will watch over him. Sad to say that my experience with Shayna, with her blaming me constantly for for giving her bad advice or pushing her toward doing something good, and did I react? Sure. I'm sad to say that we're going to probably have, you know, Caleb might very well struggle because of it. Struggled to find work, the work he couldn't hang on to, you know, far too demanding, and he couldn't meet the demand. And I'm not saying it's because he's a bad person, just he couldn't meet those demands. At least it's probably right that we didn't really prepare him too well for this world, but honestly, I don't know what constitutes good preparation anymore. I really don't. My offering him of freedom probably neglected to give him any sort of clear purpose. And there's every chance that Job Corps will or people he meets at Job Corps will give him a sense of purpose but likely not a good one. So, we're going to see what happens. For all I know, it'll be the 90-day thing. They say we make commitment to do this for 90 days. And I hope the program itself does a good job. Give Caleb a good way ahead. But it might also give him a lot of interesting additional habits that he's going to have to overcome. We'll see. The choices we make, the things that we do, we just kind of have to do the best we can with what's available to us. Anyway, so it's interesting now. Only Sam's at home. Within a push's distance of getting his finishing up high school. And after that, not quite sure. I had proposed at one point that we probably had sufficient money to send probably both the guys to school. We've been careful never to include the money that we were making off of the house, the sale of our old house in Susan Carey, including that in our personal income, was always somewhat separate, treated separately. I'm worried that we just this month did something that, you know, that's not like that. Instead of putting it in our savings account, we put it into our regular checking to try to boost it back up. And I'm kind of worried that we're really not living in our means. We're slowly eking a little bit of money from what should really be our reserve fund. It should never be touched except in an emergency. And investment. That's basically the investment. really doesn't make any interest, but it's money that we don't put to use otherwise. Anyway, so. That's kind of what's going on right now. I had this epiphany this morning. And I was trying to find some information. If there was some information on this. And the only thing I really could find right off the bat was a 1908 speech. What the thought is that it appears that modern Islam has an attitude of dominance. I didn't know if it went back to the Prophet. At least from some commentators' standpoint, it doesn't. I think this is one of the essential problems with a somewhat of a decentralized religion. We treat them as if they are a centralized religion, which is funny. Christianity really isn't. Although it used to be. Oh. Well, it used to be more so. Now it's definitely not anything of the sort. The Muslim world, it appears, it broke into different factions really quickly. And sometimes we try to make some distinctions with those. I'm not even sure those are useful. I would imagine that any random group of Muslims getting together would probably have such wildly divergent views. It's like calling me and a person from Brazil American. Technically, you could make that claim. You know, they live in South America. I live in North America. I think the same could be said for Islam. These are not these people. The funny thing is that the most active people that claim Muslim justification for their actions right now are terrorists and people that seek for dominance wherever they go, seek to tear down what they can't see. And if there's any sort of unity, of which there just by nature probably wouldn't be much at all, these seem to be the only groups that get attention, is that they are somewhat unified. You know, and they get unified within Al-Qaeda or ISIS or something like that. Basically, well, Al-Qaeda was a terrorist group, a revolutionary terrorist group. ISIS had every desire to become another caliphate. They were wanting to bring back Muslim-dominated land under their own power structure, of course, you know. Interesting. Iran is probably close to the ideal Islamic state based on the Quran, from what little I've read, with very little. And, if we were to be willing to treat it like a partner, I think the biggest problem we have is that we want to help other nations develop, but only in a certain fashion, and predominantly in a way that's essentially unthreatening to us. Philosophically, I don't like it, but practically, it might be important from a survival standpoint. So, yeah, these are very uncertain times. My philosophy is get along with everybody. But not quite as practical. I don't know how one should feel about any of that. We'll have an ideal draft list. Anyway, we're here.